it's his father, right? That Yaakov Avinu, after blessing Ephraim and Manasseh, at the beginning of the parsha, it's Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayavarech es Yosef vayomar, Helukim asher hishalchu avoysai lefanov Avraham v'Yitzchak. You need the end of the pasuk. Now, he only quotes the first part of the pasuk, but the end is actually very important for the medrash we're about to quote. So he says, Vayomar, he said to him, Helukim, the God, who what? Who was hishalchu avoysai lefanov, who my fathers were what? Hishalchu lefanov, Avraham v'Yitzchak. Ha'elokim ha'rova osi mi'oidi ad hayom hazeh. And my God who has been shepherding me from the time that I came into existence until this very day. Now again, what's going on here? Hishalchu avos ha'lefanav. The avos walked before Hashem, and Hashem served as a shepherd. Says the Medrash. He starts by quoting the Medrash. But Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Brechia of Amrila b'shem Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar L'Roeshu Omiru Mabid B'Tzono. It's like a shepherd who's watching over his sheep. Kodesh Baruch Hu has our back. The shepherd is keeping an eye on his sheep to make sure that none of them wander off. That's Rabbi Yochanan. That's what Yaakov Avinu is saying to Yosef HaTzadik. That Hashem has been shepherding me. Hashem has my back. Hashem watches over me. Reish Lakish Amar L'Nasi Mahalech V'Hazakenim Lefanov. And Reish Lakish compared it to a Nasi, to a prince, to an important individual who's walking with Zakenim in front of him. So in other words, you have to try to understand. In the Pasuk, there's two points the Pasuk makes. Right? Yaakov Avinu blesses Yosef, Ha'elokim asher eshalchu avosai lefanov, Avram v'Yitzchak, Ha'elokim ha'rova osi me'odi ad hayom hazeh. So we have these two images of Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Again, it's not exactly clear what the point is, and we'll see. Our Rebbe, the Kajetzer Magid, is going to explain to us the point. But Reish Lakish again compares it to a Nasi who's walking, and he doesn't have anyone walking behind him. He has the Zakenim walking in front of him. And Rabbi Yochanan compares it to a shepherd who's shepherding sheep, with the sheep in the front and the shepherd in the back. Al daite de Rabbi Yochanan, so says the Medrash, this is still the Medrash. Al daite de Rabbi Yochanan, anu tzrichin lichvodo. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we need his honor. Now, his honor might mean his protection here, as we'll see. And according to Reish Lakish, he needs our honor. What's going on here? Ayin Sham Beperush Matnas Kahuna. It's one of the classic commentaries on the Medrash. That's what Mem Chaf stands for. Okay, but let's see. Says the Kajister Magid, let's talk about two different types of Jews. And then we'll understand these two mashalim. V'nira lomar al pima shekasavti kvar makom acher. We spoke about it already earlier in the Sefer, in Parshas Bereishis. D'shnei drachim l'ovdei Hashem. There's two types of ovdei Hashem. There's two degrees of confidence in one's avodas Hashem. Stability in one's Hashem. Right? Strength in one's avodas Hashem. Ha'echad hu mishalich Hashem. You have some people who need to walk, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks behind you, like a parent walking behind a child, making sure that if the child falls down and scrapes his knee, the parent is immediately there to scoop the child up, and to put a band-aid on his scraped knee, or to wipe off his pants if he gets dirty. There are some people that they walk in front of Hashem, and Hashem supports them, right? Hashem is a sa'ad l'somcho. Hashem is a supporter for them. And he guards them and he watches over them to make sure they don't get into trouble. And the mashal that I gave you is exactly the mashal that our Rebbe gives, that the Kajetzer Magid gives. V'hi l'mashal, k'mo atino k'olech lifnei imo, v'imo mashgeches alav sh'lo yipol, v'lo yim'adu karsu lav. It's like a child who's walking in front of mommy, and the mother is watching over that the child shouldn't fall, and the child shouldn't injure himself, shouldn't scrape his knees, right? He shouldn't get hurt. Okay, good. That's one type of person in the world. And it's very realistic. Sometimes we don't feel that I can go on my own. I need Hashem. Hashem, I need you to have my back. Otherwise I'm scared I'm gonna get myself into trouble. If you're not watching over me, if you don't, so to speak, have your hand on my shoulders from behind, steering me in the right direction, I'm gonna get lost. V'yesh od derech yoser chazak. But there's another level, which is obviously stronger. It's more solidified and it's more stable. Keshemisyashin bitzidko, umizgaber leleches achre Hashem, at she'enu tzarech shomer. There's another level when a person has strengthened and has developed his avodas Hashem to the point that he's no longer like a child who's, you know, needs that extra shmirah, but he has his own strength and he has a little bit of his own derech and he has a little bit more stability again, to the point that Hashem can walk ahead and you can walk behind, and Hashem doesn't have to constantly look over his shoulder to see, is Yankel still on the derech? Is Yankel still walking behind me? Right? The person's able to walk behind Hashem. He doesn't need that extra shmirah. Hashem, of course, doesn't take his eyes off of us, but to a degree, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to watch him as closely. V'hu k'mo atinok shemisgadel, v'holech achar imo, v'eino tzarech lashgachasa u'lishmirasa. And that's like, again, the child as he gets a bit older, where the mother can walk ahead and the child can trail behind, and the mother's not nervous she's going to turn around after walking about a block and see that her child is nowhere to be found. So these are the two different approaches that we find throughout history. We find at various stages of the development of Klal Yisrael, from, let's say, Avram Avinu versus a Klal Yisrael as a Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? V'zeh shematzinu afilu ba'Avram Avinu alav ha'shalom kodem shenimol Avram Avinu. Now it's interesting. We know we contrast Noach and Avraham, and we make it sound like Noach needs all that extra protection compared to Avraham. But let's not compare Avram to Noach. Let's compare Avram kodem mila to Avram after bris mila. So Avram Avinu, as a beginner, mamish, the beginner, the ultimate beginner, Avram Avinu needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to watch over him. Or Hashem knows that Avram needs that. And therefore, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hishaleich lefanai. Hashem says to Avraham, you walk in front of me, so I can watch you. Ki adayin lo kibel as haTorah, rak sheshamar me'atzmo kol haTorah. Because Avram Avinu had not formally received the Torah. It's true, he chose to keep the Torah on his own. But because Avram's figuring everything out on his own, and because the whole thing is so new, so he needs an extra shmirah. He's also rebelling against the whole world. He's Avram Ivri. He's taking on his entire society. He's rejecting his parents and his grandparents. So Avram needs an extra shmirah, and therefore Hashem says, you go in the front, I'll stand behind you, I'll keep an eye on you. Lachein adayin tzarech shmiras habore baruch hu. And therefore Avram needs the extra protection, and he needs to what? He needs to walk in front of Hashem. Masha'ein kein b'nei Yisrael, as opposed to a b'nei Yisrael who's now a little bit more fortified. B'nei Yisrael acharei kabbalasam haTorah min haShemayim. Once we officially receive the Torah min haShemayim, what does it say there? Hashem says, now I can walk ahead and you can come behind me, and I'm confident that you're not going to get lost. Ksiv acharei Hashem Elokechem teilecho. Ah, beautiful. Once we have the Torah, so then Hashem says, okay, now you have what you need. Now I can go ahead, and you follow behind. Sheyeschazku b'derech hatov, ad sheyu nishmarim me'aleihem ve'yelchu ketino kamashalich achar imo. Now we can walk on our own. We don't need mommy to trail behind, picking us up, because we're constantly falling down. Right? But the child can go on his own, and the mother can walk ahead, and the child trails alongside or trails behind. And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that when Yaakov Avinu is sort of reflecting on his life, the life of the Avos, and his own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So in some ways, they're both true. Rabbi Yochanan, it's not really a machlokas. I mean, on a surface level, it's a machlokas. Which is better? Is it better to, you know, to make sure that you have Hashem right behind you at every moment? Or is it better to say to Hashem, I'm okay, I can do this on my own? That's the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar L'Roesh U'Mabit B'Tzono. Rabbi Yochanan says that Yaakov Avinu is saying about his relationship with Hashem. He's telling Yosef that Hashem has been watching me like a shepherd watches over the sheep. V'hu mashkiach aleihem l'shamram. Like the shepherd is protecting the sheep to make sure that they don't get hurt. Reish Lakish Amar. Linasi mahale chazakenim lefanav. It's like a nasi, it's like a prince who sends what? His zakenim ahead, and the nasi is a chash of a person. I don't need anyone to watch over me. I can protect myself. Hainu shehem ein tzrichim lo. right? That they don't, the relationship there is not as needy. And that's what Reish Lakish says. Now, what's interesting, it's fascinating, if you think about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if you're thinking about who we're actually talking about here, so your mind is going to jump to what he's about to say. Because we know that Reish Lakish was maybe the greatest of the Balei Tshuva. Reish Lakish was a bandit. Reish Lakish was a robber, a person who changed his ways. And Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, was sort of the, you know, the more perfect tzaddik. And we know what the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Lamedal. The Gemara in Brachos says that the place of a Baal Tshuva, the place that a Baal Tshuva is omed, in many ways is greater than the place of a tzaddik gemar. In other words, a person who's been, here's, let me say it in a way that I think will resonate with us, a person who's experienced the Yetzirah has a better understanding of how to battle the Yetzirah than the person who never encountered the Yetzirah. In other words, Reish Lakish says, listen, I've been down some dark alleyways, and I know kind of what it looks like. And because of that, now that I've chosen to rise above that, I don't need so much help. I'm not naive. I'm not naive to who the Yetzer is. You know, we've had an encounter or two, and therefore now that I'm self-aware, I don't need that extra degree of shmirah. Right? I've tasted the forbidden fruit. I've rejected it. And now, you know, I know it's still out there, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I have a better, you know, I have a better understanding and ability to rise above it. Rabbi Yochanan, who's a little bit more innocent, so to speak, in terms of his life, Rabbi Yochanan is a little bit more anxious about that Yetzirah. He's never tasted the Yetzirah. He's never experienced the Yetzirah. There's an amazing story with Rabbi Melech and Rabbi Zusha. They were talking one time. I think we shared this once. But just to review it in this context, I think is important. That they were talking one time about their role in the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhansk and his brother Rabbi Zusha, they were saying, you know, we were there. We were present. Adam HaRishon was all-encompassing. We were there. We were there. And we knew that Adam was going to do the Avera. He was doing the Avera. We knew it. And we could have stopped him. And Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zusha were talking. Rabbi Zusha said, why didn't we stop Adam HaRishon? Right? If we knew it was wrong, and we knew what would happen, so why didn't we stop him? If our righteous souls were there, so why didn't we stop Adam HaRishon? So Rabbi Melech said, it's such a deep teaching. He said, because Adam had to taste from the forbidden fruit, Adam had to do that Avera, and realize that everything that the Nachash promised him that it would be, it wasn't. And now, okay, so now you know. Now you know that when Hashem says, don't do this, and the Yetzer Hara says, I'm telling you, you're going to love it, it's not worth it. The world needed to learn that it's not worth it. But again, that's only after, you know, Acher HaMaisa. Once a person has done the Avera, so then the person says, you know what, it wasn't worth it. Rabbi Yochanan, who still is living, so to speak, Kodem Achet, he's living with the temptation of the Nachash, so he needs that extra degree of protection. And that's how the Kadosh Baruch Hu Magid ends the piece. Ve'efshar od lomar, ki kol echad l'shitaso ozil. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are going l'shitasam, according to their life experience. Rabbi Yochanan, shehu mishalich v'tzidko u'kudushaso miyom hivaldo, v'lo nata l'leches yeminu smol. Rabbi Yochanan, who had a very pure and innocent, so to speak, upbringing, and therefore he hasn't deviated to the right or to the left, and therefore he's very holy, he's very pure, but he's also very naive and very innocent in a sense. L'chein darcho tzarech shimur kol yamav, shelo yilachid ba'atzas yitzro. He's more tempted by that unknown Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah says, I'm telling you, you're missing out on life. And Rabbi Yochanan has to battle that. And that requires a lot of help. I need to stay out of the Shmaya to not ever let down my guard. Because he's not fully aware of the tricks of the Yetzirah. Right? He's not sure exactly how the Yetzirah is going to try to get him. He needs that extra shmira. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan explains Kein Darko in accordance with his life's experience. Masha Einkin Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who's battled the Yetzer many times, and he's lost, and he knows his tricks, and he knows his techniques, and he knows what works, and he knows what doesn't work. Reish Lakish, Shaya Rachuk Viniskarev Lekedusha. Reish Lakish, who was once very far, and then he was able to, over the course of time, draw close to Kedusha. Al Yedei Gisa Rabbi Yochanan. And that came about through what? Through his brother-in-law, who? Rabbi Yochanan. As the Gemara famously tells us, Bar Metzia Pei Dalid. In Bar Metzia and Perak HaPoalim. It tells us the whole story of how Reish Lakish was able to transform his energy towards Kedusha. But he knows who the Yetzer is. He knows very well who the Yetzer is. Uvavadai bal tshuva kamohu nishmar me'atzmo. Ki utzarech la'avod b'yeser se'es. Bal tshuva says, listen, I know what the Yetzer does. I know certain problems that I have from my past, and I know they try to creep back in, and I know how strong I need to fight, but I'm self-aware of all those things. I know the Yetzer is, I know where my weaknesses are, because I've stumbled in the past, I know the times that I've been victorious and what works, so I'm much more self-aware. I'm far less, you know, naive when it comes to my own ruchnius, and I know how to guard myself in the Yetzer. Asher kfar yodea ki nukadu raglev. I've already stumbled. He's already tackled me once or twice before. L'chein shomer es nafsho ve'eino tzarech l'shmira milamala ulefidarko darash hamikra. And therefore, Reish Lakish explained the pasuk according to his understanding. Again, they're really both in the pasuk, right? When Yaakov says to Yosef, Halokim asher hishalchu avoisai lefanov Avram Yitzchak Halokim harova osim yodi arayom azeh. In a certain sense, it's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu led and the avos followed. The more pasuk pshat, obviously, here is he's saying that that my avos were followed by Hashem, and Hashem watched over them and myself, just like a shepherd watches over his sheep. But again, the Kaddish Shemalik says, yeah, that was the level of the avos. The avos were figuring out a lot of things, and Hashem had to carry them along because they were new to all of this. But in an ironic way, right, chevra like ourselves at the end of time, we're much more experienced for better and for worse. And we have the ability to become Balei Tshuva Amitim and to be able to carry ourselves. So it's such an important piece because there's so often we feel like, you know, if I would have been more innocent at certain stages of my life, then I would have been better off. But there's a certain ability to be Omid Al Raglav, a person who got knocked down and stood back up and got knocked down and stood back up. There's a certain strength that a person develops from being in the fight that sometimes, you know, I wish I could have had a more wholesome upbringing or a more naive experience, and I regret certain things I've done in my life, etc., etc. Whatever it may be, you know, whether it's major or even minor. But this piece reminds us that a person who's able to walk behind Hashem is really, in a sense, a higher level. Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. I don't need Hashem to baby me, to hold my hand every step of the way. But I have the confidence to be able to go on my own in Avodas Hashem, so to speak. Okay, so that's the Yesod. And that's the bracha that really, I guess, Yaakov is giving to Yosef. Yaakov, who had a much more innocent life, Yosef, who ended up in Mitzrayim, was seduced by Eishes Potiphar. Yosef, who was involved in governing a non-Jewish government in a land far away from home, right, without any other Jewish life around him. And he struggled, but he also became his greatest self from those experiences. Okay, so that's piece number one for today. Okay, let's try another one. Here's a famous question of the Kaddish Termagid. He noticed something in our Parsha that he was very bothered that no one else noticed. He said, I looked around in different Sfarim and no one talks about this. Right? Now, once you notice the question, the answer becomes somewhat obvious, but the question is very, very important. To notice this is very important. And later Sifrei Chassidus certainly note this Kaddish Termagid and build on this idea as well. Lishu'ascha kivisi Hashem. Three amazing words that appear in the bracha of who? Which David gets this bracha? L'shuascha kivisi Hashem. I don't know if it's really the bracha or it's Yaakov's response upon giving a bracha to this Shevet. Who is it? A very mysterious Shevet. A Shevet that I like to imagine that I come from. I imagine we all come from this Shevet. Shevet Dan, that's right. Shevet Dan, the strange, mysterious Shevet Dan. Yaakov Avinu blurts out, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Rashi says, just for context, Rashi says he saw in the future that one of the great conflicted characters from the world of Dan, which of course is Shimshon, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, the Plishtim are going to poke out his eyes and he's going to cry out to Hashem, Zachreinina vechaskenina chapam azeh. He's going to cry out that one last time, Hashem, I need your strength, one more time. And Yaakov Avinu, with his prophetic vision, sees the struggles of Shimshon and the Plishtim. But Shimshon is a very messianic character, and Shevet Dan is a very Mashiach Dika Shevet, and they go through also tremendous ups and downs. I mean, if you just look at the bracha here, the bracha is Yehi Dan Nachash. Right? Dan is compared to what? Compared to a snake. That's usually not a very good image. By the time that Moshe in Vizos HaBracha gives a bracha to Shev Adan, they go from being a snake to being a lion. Who's compared to a lion? The lion, of course, is Yehuda, right? The head. And Dan is the tail, so to speak. So Dan actually, over the course of time, rises tremendously. They overcome the odds. Shev Adan becomes the most populous amongst the Jewish people. Even though Dan had only one son, whose name was Chushim. Of course, Chushim is the letters Mashiach, Ches, Shin, Yud, Mem, as it's written in the Torah. Right? Then Dan overcomes all the odds and becomes even bigger than Sheva Binyamin. Binyamin had 10 sons. Dan had one son who was severely handicapped. And yet, despite that, somehow Sheva Dan finds their way to the top. That's why Sheva Dan has a lot to do with us, Jews like ourselves. Okay, so let's try this piece. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Kajetzer Magid says, hold on a second. You start looking. Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi. Something is missing. What's missing? Something that appears 1,820 times in the Chumash, which means once every three psukim, basically. And yet it goes dark for parshios, for entire parshios. What's missing in these parshios? The name of Hashem is missing in these parshios. The Kajetzer Magid says, what happened to the name of Hashem? This is the first time we've seen Yudke Vavke in a long time. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Acher ha'iyun b'parshas Miketz, u'parshas Vayigash, u'parshas Vayechi, ara pasuk hazeh, v'lo matzinu shem havaya. We have not seen Yudke Vavke, we have not seen Hashem's essential name in a long time. It's not written in these parshios. It's so strange to me, he says. U'tmiya niskava be'enai. This is a great wonder in my eyes. Madua nifla ha'davar hazeh, mikol sifrei ha'mikubalim, I looked around. I don't see anyone talking about this. People who pay attention to these things. People who notice these things. And no one noticed it. No one commented on it. It's a big deal, actually, that Hashem's name is missing for such a long stretch of psukim. It's so unusual. Hagam shahayu sofrim umonin kolosios haTorah. And I'm talking about people who pay attention to every letter, to every word, who count, who are counters, right? Like the Gemara says in Kedushin, the Talmidei Chacham are called Sofrim because they count the letters of Torah. They're very much aware of the letters of the Torah, that they count the osios of the Torah. Ad she'al parsha achas. So for example, they were very quick to notice about a certain parsha, namely Seder Titzaveh, shelo nizkar b'chol ha'parsha she'im Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom adon ha'nevi'im. They noticed that Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in Parsha Titzaveh. Everyone talks about that. And then they try to figure out, so where's Moshe Rabbeinu's name? Why is it missing? And then they come with all sorts of ramazim, that no, saying Va'ata Tetzaveh is an even higher way of saying Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu's name is hinted in the number of psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh. How many psukim are in Parshas Tetzaveh? 101. Take Moshe Rabbeinu's name and spell out the letters, Mem, Shin, Hey. The Vilna Gaon says, if you spell Mem, it's Mem, Mem. If you spell Shin, Shin, Yud, Nun. If you spell Hey, Hey, Aleph. So now, what are the hidden letters of Moshe Rabbeinu's name? In other words, when you spell Mem, Mem, you take the Mem. Shin, Yud, Nun. Shin, you take the Yud, Nun. Hey, Aleph, you take the Aleph. Everyone understand what I'm doing? I'm taking the hidden dimension of Moshe's name. Right? You spell out the letters. Mem, Shin, Hey. And then you take the letters that emerge, the hidden letters. So the hidden letters are Mem and Yud and Nun. An Aleph, which is Gematria 101. So says the Vilna Gaon, 101 psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh. Our Meram is Moshe's name on the surface is not in Parshas Tetzaveh, but Moshe's inner essence permeates the entire Parsha. Beautiful. And that's one of many Vartlach that I could tell you about how Moshe Rabbeinu is found in Parshas Tetzaveh. But everyone notices it. Kajos Amagin's point is that everyone notices it. No one missed the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is missing in Parshas Tetzaveh. Right? Everyone notices it. They recognize that. V'nizkar ha'pela b'sefer Zohar HaKadosh v'sefer Kabbalah. The Zohar notices it. The Sefer Kabbalah notices it. Everyone noticed it. And everyone darshened it. Everyone has what to say about it. Right? But for some reason, no one seems to talk about this. Let's talk about Moshe for another second, since we mentioned it, he says. V'am Rusham, it's explained. It's explained in the Sefer Kabbalah. Ki atzadik b'diburo osei roshem. When a tzaddik says something, even if it's conditional, it leaves a mark. It makes a roshem. There's a Gemara in Makos like that. That the words of tzaddikim are binding. Even if it's said al tanai, the words of a tzaddik are so powerful that they're not so easily erased at all. And therefore, we find this in many svarim, umatzinu b'torah divrei Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who said about himself, shegozer al-atzmo v'im ayin macheni na misifracha. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, in Parshas, what? Kisisa. If you don't forgive the Jewish people, please erase me from your book. Well, once he said that, there's no taking that back. V'niskayim k'tsoso al-kolponim. So that had to be fulfilled in some small measure. Lihipaked shemo miparsha achas. Lihipaked means to be missing. That his name should be missing from one parsha, ayin b'divrahim. Now, Hashem in his kindness picked Parshas Tetzave. Why? What is the spatial difference between Parshas Tetzave and Kisisa? It's as far apart as you can go. Think about it. Right? What parsha is after Tetzave? Kisisa. So when Moshe Rabbeinu Parshas Kisisa says, im ayin macheni na b'sifracha, Hashem could have erased Moshe Rabbeinu in what? Vayakel, Pekudei, Vayikra, Tzav. He could have erased Moshe in any of the Parshios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits all the way from Kisisa, a full cycle of Chumash, all the way to the farthest Parsha away from Kisisa, which is what? The Parsha right in front of it, Tetzaveh. And then Hashem says, okay, I gotta erase your name somewhere in the Chumash. So Hashem took Moshe Rabbeinu's words seriously and took him out of Tetzaveh. But again, it's worth noting. It's something you have to notice. So why doesn't anyone notice this? Says the Kol Shetzer Magid, let me tell you one more thing about Moshe Rabbeinu's name, again, since we're on the topic. I'll tell you why I think Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Kisisa, he says. Uladati yesh gam kein eza remez lezeh, masha berov hashanim, mehakvius, chol zayin ba'adar, shuhu yom istalkuso shal adon anavim, b'shvua shekorin seder tetzave. Says the Kol Shetzer Magid, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Tetzave? Because from the time that we established a calendar, and from the time that we established a Kriyas HaTorah cycle, a yearly Kriyas HaTorah cycle, it's almost always that the week of Zayin Adar falls out in the week of Parshas Tetzaveh. Zayin Adar, of course, is the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So to reflect the pain that Klal Yisrael is feeling, we know the Torah and the Jewish people and Hashem are all one. So whatever the Torah is experiencing is really reflecting what the Jewish people are experiencing. So just like in the calendar year, that time of the year, Parshas Tetzaveh, we feel Moshe Rabbeinu being taken away from us. It's his yahrzeit. It's also his birthday, but it's his yahrzeit. So too, the Chumash reflects that reality by taking Moshe Rabbeinu away from us in Parshas Tetzaveh. Very interesting. Doik v'sishkach. Check it out. You'll see it's true. V'aydi d'shaychi ha'adadei misrami ha'adadei. And because they are connected to each other, they have shaychis to each other, so they occur around each other. In other words, Parshas Tetzaveh and the death of Moshe Rabbeinu share a similar message of feeling that loss. Okay, so now let's come back to our question. V'nachzor le'inyanenu. Let's come back to our question. Again, the question itself is so valuable. No Shem Havaya in Miketz, no Shem Havaya in Vayigash, hardly any name Hashem in Parshas Vayechi. Finally, Hashem is giving a bracha, Yaakov Avinu is giving a bracha to Shem at Dan. Mishuascha kivisi Hashem. Something messianic about Dan brings back the name of Hashem. What does that mean? He's not going to focus so much on Dan, but he's going to focus on Golis and Geula. So he says, Mashanelam chas v'shalom yavoseinu rachvei lev hadavar zeh. Let's explain that, which again so many of our earlier teachers and Rebbeim overlooked. Ki b'shnei parshios miketz v'yigash u'parshas v'yechi ad pasuk hazeh Nifkad Mekom Shem HaKodesh HaNichtav Havaya. This name of Hashem is missing in these parshios. Ve'efshar l'seis tam ve'eza remez. And I'd like to offer the following explanation, he says. Ki b'parshas miketz al yedei hachalomos paro u'pisrono shel shnei hara'av nisgagel hadavar v'yardu avoseinu l'mitzrayim. Parshas miketz, Yaakov Avinu, his family, is sort of decreed to have to come to Mitzrayim. Why? Paro has dreams, and those dreams predict a famine, and that famine takes over the whole world. And even Yaakov Avinu's family is forced to come down to Mitzrayim. So that's the beginning of our encounter with Golis. Uba Parshas Vayigash, obviously Parshas Vayigash, we come even more, not just visiting Mitzrayim, but Yaakov's family is starting to move to Mitzrayim. And that's the Tchilas Hayerida. Sheyared Yaakovinu Olav Shalom Uvanov. Right? That's the beginning of really going down to Mitzrayim in a more serious and significant way. Kmo Shekosav Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayimah. It's now Hashem starts to promise Yaakovinu, I'm going to be with you in Mitzrayim. Because you're going to be in Mitzrayim and it's not going to be simple. Ayin Bezar Kadosh. Lachain. And therefore it's very simple, says the Kashas Ramakid. Shem Ne'elam Shem Havaya, the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, which represents what? Which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our life. That's very much hidden in these parshios, because these are parshios that are formulating and establishing Galus. Hamora al Harachim v'chasadim gedolim, this name, which represents Hashem's kindness, His mercy, His compassion. It's all hidden until Yaakov Avinu, as he's noticing, again, the descent of the Jewish people into Mitzrayim, with his superhuman vision, he looks at the future, and he says, ah, but l'shuascha kivisi Hashem. Even though right now Mitzrayim is just getting started, and it's going to get a lot worse, but I already, you know, hiktim refu alamaka, he sees the salvation in the distance. Shemora ala geula ha'asida, shenibe Yaakov Avinu olav ha'shalom. Yaakov Avinu, with his, again, prophetic vision, was predicting that, don't worry, he's saying to Klal Yisrael, he's saying to maybe the most troublesome Shevet Dan, don't worry, there's going to be a Tikkun, there's going to be a Yeshua, there's going to be a Geula. Kamosha Pershum Mafarshim Sham. Lachein Nisgale Shem Avaya. So therefore, amidst all this darkness of the emergence of Gullus Mitzrayim, all of a sudden there's this breakthrough of Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. This light that shines through, that don't worry, there's going to be a Hisgalus of Yudke Vavkei. Hamerachim aleinu, hapodenu, v'hagoaleinu, b'mehira amen. And that everything's going to work out okay. Okay, so you got to look for those yud kei vav keis in your life also. In those dark times, a person has to try to have an eye towards the future and to recognize that, you know, even when Hashem is obscured for a period of time, right, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always, you know, meitzes min acharakim, Hashem is peeking through the latticework. You got to just try to find it. And the Kadosh Tzur Magid was paying close attention to these parshios, and he said, ah, that Yud Kei Vav Kei, by the bracha of Dan, is going to carry Klal Yisrael through the dark gullus that's just beginning to unfold on the pages of the Chumash. Okay? Let's do a little bit of the next piece also. Let's try it. It's a harder piece. It's a little bit harder. But there's an important yesod here also. And since we're getting into the days of Shovavim, these are days of sensitivity to Inyanei Kedusha, extra sensitivity to Inyanei Kedusha, it's kedai to try this piece together. Okay, let's try it just very quickly. I have to be at a meeting at 10:30, so we got a couple of minutes, but let's try it for, see if we can do it for 10 minutes. Okay, Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Ale Ayin. Ah, Ben Poras Yosef. Yosef is so charming. He's a Ben Poras Ale Ayin. Well, when you're so charming, you get yourself into trouble sometimes. Pasuk says, Binos Tzada Ale Shur. The Benos Sa'ada, that the girls, the young ladies would what? They would climb up on the walls in order to gaze at his beauty. Rashi describes Benos, many young women of Mitzrayim, Tsa'ada in the singular, each one of them would climb to a place that they were able to see him. And Yosef had a lot of temptation in his life. He had a lot of struggles in his life. And then the next Pasuk says, interesting, this is all part of the bracha to Yosef. It says, V'yamaruhu v'robu. They made his life bitter, v'robu, right? Like haravis rivenu, and they battled him. They became his adversaries. They fought him. Vayistemuhu balei chitzim, and the balei chitzim, the ones who what's a chetz is an arrow. So the balei chitzim, those who shoot the arrows, so to speak, hated him, right? And they sometimes balei chitzim use an expression usually used for the person who has a sharp tongue, a person who speaks in a very strong way. But of course, and here's the conclusion, Vateshev Be'esan Kashto. Rashi says that Kashto means Chazko, his strength. So his strength was what? Was Teshev, was established in a very firm way. His strength was firmly established. In other words, Yosef gained great power. Vayufozu Zroi Yadov, when his arms were adorned, Mide Avir Yaakov, from the mighty one of Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misham Roa Evan Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, basically watched over him. Again, very poetic, very beautiful. But Yosef was able to somehow, despite these beautiful women of Mitzrayim who were trying to drag him down, Yosef somehow rose above it and he found the strength, both in terms of Eishes Potiphar and in terms of becoming a success story in Mitzrayim. And it was all in the merit of his strength and the Avir Yaakov. The Avir Yaakov, the mighty one of Yaakov, means Hashem, who was watching over him and giving him that strength. Okay. Says Rashi, as we just mentioned, Rashi says, Shekol Perish, Shekol Benos Ha'ir, Yotsu Alachoma, they would climb up on the walls, Alagagos, Listakel, Biafio. Everyone was trying to get a better look at Yosef. And that was a challenge for Yosef. And then he borrows from the Medrash. Rashi doesn't quote this next little line. V'chol achas, this line is part of the Medrash. V'chol achas hishlicha avnei shoam umargolius lo lamatana. They would throw all sorts of presents at him, right? Not only were they trying to, you know, seduce him and try to get his attention with their own beauty, but they threw gifts to him, trying to lure him in. V'af al pichein hu lo hayim mistakel behem, v'lo nasa lashav nafsho, and Yosef was able to turn away from all of this, all of these temptations, all of this avodah zara, so to speak. Right? Gilulim is lashon avodah zara. He was able to not look at them, to not accept their gifts, and certainly not to get involved in whatever it was they were seeking. Okay, so says the Kashas Armagid. Hine banos eile bavadei haiseruach zima bekirbam umachshavos raos kamaisa eretz Mitzrayim. We don't have to be naive to understand what these women were trying to do to Yosef. These women of Mitzrayim had a ruach zima, a spirit of znus, a spirit of arayos. Amongst them, umachshavos raos kamaisa eretz Mitzrayim, they had evil intentions, as we know, what we call maisa eretz Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is not by chance called what? Ervas haaretz. Ervas haaretz means it was a place that was known for its promiscuity and its arayos. Okay. So now, Chevra, listen to what happens. What happens when you're in an environment, and this part is, it's hard to understand the piece fully, but this part's very important to us. What happens when you're in an environment where there's so much going on around you? There's so many negative intentions around you. You're a tzaddik. You're Yosef a tzaddik. But there's a lot of negative thoughts around you. There's a lot of negative intentions around you. To what degree do those intentions impact you? So look what he writes here. I'm not even sure I understand this next part, but let's see. V'kibalnu mehatzadik hagon Rav Avram Kalisker. I heard from, it's not Rav Avram Cook, for those who thought it was Rav Cook. It's Rav Avram Kalisker. Right? Rav Avram from Kalisk. Rav Avram Kalisker set up shot in a pasuk. Tov ma'at litzadik. Now let me give you the whole pasuk. Okay, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk says, Tov ma'at latzadik mehamon rishaim rabim. How do you learn the pasuk? Listen to this. Here's how Avram Kalisker learned the pasuk. I think this is what he's saying. You'll tell me if you don't think I'm saying it right. He says, Tov ma'at litzadik, it's Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Shehatov hu ma'at etzlo al yedei v'chulu. What does that mean? So what does the pasuk say? Tov ma'at litzadik. Right? What's the end of the pasuk? Mehamon rishaim rabim. I think what he's saying is tov ma'at litzadik, that the good of a tzaddik is unfortunately sometimes made small by what? By his surroundings. What does that mean? By those who are miserabim. Oz chalila gover koach hatuma kol kach ad shebe'efes ma mismae tuvo v'tzirkaso. Sometimes the tzaddik is surrounded by just, there's just so much more tuma around him that the tzaddik memela feels that he's outnumbered, but he also feels that it's impacting him a little bit, right? V'zeh tov ma'at letzaddik. He feels that somehow his efforts are being made small, or maybe that his tzidkus is being made small because he's simply outnumbered. As the pasuk says, Tov ma'at litzadik mehamon rishaim rabim. So he feels overwhelmed. So im kein, so therefore, Yosef could be a tzadik, but says the Kashas Armagid, when you have these women vying for his attention, and they're so to speak shooting their intentions out of their mind at him all the time, it has a hashpa. Even if he'll never do it, even if he'll never do the avera, the fact that he knows that these women are interested in him in this way has a hashpa on a person. The fact that it's within the realm of the possible, even if he said, I would never do that. But just knowing that people do that, knowing that guy who you worked with at the summer internship, you know, said that he did that, right? or the person who lives across the hall from your apartment, you know that he does that, right? Or just the world, you know, the images on the billboard are enticing you that you should do that, whatever it is. And I'm not only talking about Arayos and Znus. I'm talking about whatever it is the world is saying, but everyone does that. It has a hashpah on a person. Even if you would never do that, the fact that you know that people do it, it drags you down in some small measure at the very least. Imkein mistama mitumas habanos, bevadei ba eiza hergish ubilbo machshavto hakadosha. And therefore, even if Yosef never did the Avera, but there's no question that it caused the bilbul in his mind. How could it not? How could it not? He's a handsome young man, all alone, sold out by his brothers, living in Mitzrayim, and these Rishayim, these wicked people with wicked intentions, are constantly trying to get him, to drag him down. So the Kosher Samaki says it does have a hashpa on a person, which is why a person's environment is so important. Amnam ha-Rishayim ba'achas yipolu, kevin shabalem eza machshava ra, va'atzas yitzahara, yesh la'espashtus be'evareim v'gideim uzrizim la'asosa, va'she'en kein ha-tzadik lo yanuach alav shevet harasha, ki ha-tzadik moshel beruchu v'kovesh yitzro, va'afilu kishem esbabu k'tzas, miyad hu misnachim hu mischaret v'shav el Hashem, hu mishapech machshav to letova. Says the Kosher Sir Magid, while it's true that Yosef, you know, a little bit got into him, and maybe that's also part of what Rav Avram Kalisker is saying, tov ma'at letzadik. It's good that the tzadik only let himself be influenced a little bit. You know why? Because mehamon rishon rabim. If a rasha was in a similar situation, what did he just describe? Look at the words again. I know I read through the whole paragraph quickly, but let's look at the words again. The rishon ba'achas yipolu. A rasha in a second would be involved with these women in Mitzrayim. He would have a machshava ra, and it would spread outward to all of his limbs and all of his organs. Vizrizim lasos. He would be running to do this avera. Masha'en kein the tzadik, who's so defensive, who's so guarded, who's in control of his Yetzirah, even though he's misbalbel k'tzas, even though he's struggling a little bit with this, the idea is popping in his head, and he knows he's not going to do it, but he doesn't even like that he's thinking about it. But he's immediately trying to return to Hashem to get his mind back in the right place, and that itself is very chashiv. So tov, it's tov that the ma'at letzadik, that the tzadik, what, was only made small a little bit by his surroundings. For a rasha, if that idea permeates his mind, it doesn't only permeate his mind, it permeates, it trickles down to his heart and out to his limbs and kol it, until it becomes lemaisa, until he actually does the avera. And therefore Yosef HaTzadik deserves the praise of what? Of not going all the way in Mitzrayim. Read Sota Daf Lamed Vav, you know? Yosef was nichshol a little bit with Eishes Potiphar. But he was able to guard himself to say, Ad kan, I can't do this. He caught himself, he ran away. He was able to stop himself from doing more. And that's a victory. In other words, don't see things so black and white when it comes to Milchamas HaYetzer. It's not an all or nothing arrangement. A person might say, yeah, but the fact that I was thinking about these ideas makes me feel low and disgusting. Yeah, but think about so many other people. The second they had that idea or that opportunity, they acted on it. And Yosef didn't. And that's very chashuv. And you should realize that all of the negative thoughts that crept into his mind, it's only because these women on top of the walls were shooting their intentions at him, so to speak. Okay? So look what he says here. He says, V'zeh Yosef HaTzadik, top of the next column, Be'ov Rabbi Mitzrayim, V'yatzu kol benos anche ir lekrosso b'machshavta b'machshavas oven. So when all of these women were seducing Yosef with their evil intentions, V'ayimaruhu v'robu, and they made his life so bitter, and they became his adversaries, that their negative thoughts were getting into his head, and it was causing to shter his clarity of who he is and who he wants to be. And the enemies became like what? Like balei chitzim. What's the nature of an arrow? You can shoot it from a distance. That's exactly what was happening to Yosef. Ki nikra ha-mashpia b'lashon yoyre kechetz. Being mashpia is like what? It's like shooting an arrow. Right, so they were shooting their intentions at him. V'habanos nekram balechitzim. These women had become balechitzim. Ki heim habaylim v'noisei chitzim. Heim hamachshavos. They were using their machshava to shoot their evil intentions in the direction of Yosef. And you know what? They were hitting the target because it was starting to get into Yosef's mind. V'omer hakosav shivcho. And yet the Torah sings the praise of Yosef at Tzadik. How Yosef was able, nonetheless, to play defense. Vateshev be'esan kashto. That Yosef, like I told you, that Yosef was able to firmly establish his strength. Ki eisan mora, ki eisan mora ala machshava. The word etan, eisan, alludes to machshava. Why? Ki adua meosios eisan, mehamedaktikim. For those who understand diktuk, we know that an aleph and a yud and a tuf and a nun are mora ala osid lavo. Right? Etain, yitain, titain, nitain. He says these letters are letters that can be used to create a lashon osid in a word. So therefore, Yosef what? Yosef what? What does it mean? Yosef was able to what? And osid is, again, something I haven't done, something I'm thinking about doing. It's my intentions, but it's not my actions. My actions are what I'm doing right now. What I intend to do is in the future. So Yosef what? He established his intentions. In other words, Yosef was able, both with an eye towards the future, mamish, he saw his place in Klal Yisrael, and he didn't want to compromise it. But he understood that even when his machshava was being attacked, he was able to firmly defend his machshava, to guard his mind, and to be able to say, it's true, I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't influenced in some small measure spending time in Mitzrayim. I'm just remembering now that I mentioned in a woman's shir I gave last week, that Rav Mordechai Gifter said about his uncles. He said about Rav Matal Katz and Rav Elie Meir Bloch, who came to America. They escaped the war, and they came to America. And they rebuilt the Telz Yeshiva in America. Telz in Lithuania was completely, completely decimated. Mamish, such a chorban, such tragedies out of Telz. But these two tzaddikim, Rav Matal Katz and Rav Elie Meir Bloch, they came to American shores, and they survived, and they rebuilt in America. And a lot of amazing stories about that. So Rav Gifter Zatzal, who became the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz in his time, Rav Mordechai Gifter said about his uncles, he said they were talking one time, and one of them said to the other, it's so amazing. We've been in America for a number of years now, and Baruch Hashem, it hasn't affected us. That's such a big victory. To live in such, we were part of such a beautiful, thriving Jewish community, and we came here all alone with nothing, and our families were destroyed, and somehow we've been able to rise above it. We haven't been affected by America. And the other one responded, I don't know who said to whom, when I read the story, it didn't indicate who said to whom. But either Rav Elie Meir or Matal Katz said back to the other one, the fact that you think that nothing has happened to us since we've been in America is the biggest proof that we've been affected by America. You think you haven't changed? What was he saying to him? He's saying, there's no way, are you crazy? You can't live in America having come over, you know, from Telz and not be influenced. So you're saying, we're still from? We still wear tefillin, we still keep kosher, you know? Yeah, in a chanami. But if you don't think you have a little Americanish, you know, bug in your head after spending some time here, that's the biggest proof that you've been influenced. There's no way to be completely above the influence. And that's what the Kajus Termagen is saying here. Yosef Atzadik, of course, was influenced a little bit of Mitzrayim. But he also solidified his mind, and he guarded his limbs, that it shouldn't go further than it needs to go. And for that, he deserves a big bracha and a lot of praise. So Yosef was Eitan. He was strong. He had the letters of the future. Again, the letters of Aleph and Yod and Tav and Nun. And it's true, the idea had entered his mind, but Yosef didn't give it any kiyum in his limbs. Afilu b'tziur. He didn't even let the picture formulate itself completely in his mind. Rak be'efes ma, just that tiny little bit. And that's tov ma'at litzadik. The fact that the tzadik was only a little bit influenced is a chashuv thing. Because some people are in that environment would be completely destroyed. A Russia would have gone all in. The fact that Yosef was able to guard himself and to be just a little bit dragged down, that itself is a very chashuv thing. That's a very realistic way for us to look at our lives. You know, we're in environments at times, hopefully not too much, but there's no question, every one of us has been in compromised situations where the things around us, you know, were trying to drag us down. And the very fact that I even knew about it, or I thought about it, or I heard about it, or I spoke about it, is itself problematic. But the fact that I blocked it from going further is something of great success. You have to celebrate that. So therefore, Yosef HaTzadik is given this bracha. Vayafozu zroa yadav. Vayafozu zroa yadav. His arms were adorned. Right? Vayafozu lashon of paz. They were adorned with gold. Golden arms. What does that mean, golden arms? The fact that Yosef didn't act upon everything that was being thrown in his direction. Shayamaila Osam La'ola Manikra Paz. He raised it up to a world that's called Paz. I have no idea. As we know, our Rabbi, the Kajister Magid, was a big Makubal. So I don't know what the Olam of Paz is. But I don't know. It's a golden a place. So we should be zocha to get there as well. But what an amazing piece. Really important piece. To understand that, yes, our surroundings will definitely influence. There are things that are being, there are ideas that are being shot at us, whether we realize it or not. And we unfortunately absorb those arrows. But that doesn't mean that we have to let it trickle into our heart and trickle out to our limbs. We're able to guard ourselves like Yosef HaTzadik. So Hasamba says, Yosef was sort of one of the Avos. And therefore that gives us the ability, we have a Yerusha from Yosef to also, to walk in his footsteps. Right? Just like we have a spiritual DNA from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Yosef is sort of like one of the Avos. And therefore, the choices that he made are able to protect us till this day. So, all right, we should be zoicha, some good pieces. We should see the hisgalus of Yudke Vavke in our world. It should never be hidden from us.